broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome here to the El Pacifico, those of you who are watching on Phil TV in HD at philhendryshow.com. And welcome here to the El Pacifico, those of you who are listening across our radio network here on this beautiful summer evening, no matter where you are in the world. We thank you for joining us here on a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On this show, truth is our bitch. Oh, yeah. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And if you don't believe me, just ask them. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. In a moment, we're going to bring on the line Doug Danger from the Orange County Register. And we're going to talk about Norway, and we're going to talk about the social fabric, whether it is the United States, whether it is Norway, the social fabric of the world, the Western world, if you'd like to be, if you'd like it to be a little more manageable, and just exactly what does that mean to us in protecting ourselves against crime. You know, there are heavy things that are afoot, but they're no crazier than any other thing that the human race has faced in the past. And I think because of the informational, the speed by which information reaches us these days, we tend to get a little more freaked out about things than we should. So we'll talk with Doug about that and all the other, you know, psychological niceties associated with that. So Doug Danger is up, concerned with that uptick in global violence. He's got a plan to stay safe. Vernon Dozier is going to be discussing an incident that occurred at summer school. And again, this sexualizing of our young people, what is that about? How can we stop it? Our number 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight, WXNT Indianapolis, Indiana, and WYDE in Birmingham, Alabama, and philhendryshow.com. And on August the 7th at 3 p.m., we'll be on Kevin Pollak's chat show at kevinpollakschatshow.com. Also tomorrow, I'm going to shoot the day shoot that I've got with the... Well, I better not say. Should I say?
Not just yet.
All right. Well, I'll let you know. Okay. So that was exciting, huh? Well, we're keeping a couple of things under the vest, although I did tell you, I did tell the viewers of our pre-show on our video cast. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With us in Santa Ana, California this evening is Doug Danger with the Orange County Courier. And the uptick in global violence, Doug, we're not talking about wars, you know. We're not talking about the sort of standard terrorism. Would you call what happened in Norway a standard bit of global terrorism?
No, I think that's a very good question, Phil. I think that it is the correct assumption on your part. I think it's a little different. And here's why I think it's different. Do I think that fundamentalist Christian violence is any less reprehensible or any less dangerous? No, I do not. Do I think that a Christian terrorist... By the way, I want to tell you something. I've got the same cold that you had, okay?
I can hear it.
I got the same cold you had. And I was going to leave this for later on in the hour, but I've got to say something about it because I think it bespeaks... so much prejudice that still exists in our society, Phil. I was at Starbucks about 2 hours ago. I was picking up a coffee. I walk up to the young lady who knows me in there. Her name's Deandra. And I said I'll have my usual cafe latte, Deandra. And she knows me. She also knows that I'm gay. And she's heard me on the radio. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't make... I'm on the radio.
Yeah, on my show, you're always... I mean, you're not afraid to admit that.
Right. So... you know, I'm not always on your show, is what I'm saying, you know.
Right, but you're not private about it.
I'm not private about it. So I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I go into the Starbucks, and I say, Deandra, I'll have a coffee, and I'm coughing, and I've got this hoarse throat because of the cold, and she took a step back as soon as I said, hi, Deandra, I'd like my usual coffee. I got a little bit, you know, of a chest cold. And I saw the smile on her face. I saw her body language. I saw everything about this young lady who used to deal with me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist in a very egalitarian and friendly way. And suddenly, guess what? The queer soaked in AIDS has come to...
Oh, come on, Doug.
No. I know the look. the queer soaked in AIDS has come to town.
And no, come on, wait a minute. What, you know, before on my show, you've often talked about people such as that kid at the 7-Eleven.
The kid at the 7-Eleven, Phil, you and I have talked about that, and we settled that argument a long time ago. That kid at the 7-Eleven, as soon as I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I want a pack of Marlboro, he gave me that look like the eyeball roll. I call it the eyeball roll.
You went behind the counter, though, and grabbed that kid by the shirt and pushed him up against the register. And when you and I talked about that, you said maybe you had been hasty. Now, what I'm saying is, if you just listen to me, isn't it possible that the look that the girl had on her face had nothing whatsoever to do with you? It might have had to do with a thought that passed through her mind.
Let me ask you something. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. How do you go from smiling and saying, "How are you today, Mr. Danger?" "I'm fine, Deandra. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And can I have a coffee?" And
Wait. Did you say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist?
Yes, I did.
Do you say that every time you're in there?
Phil, I went into the... I'm not going to answer these questions. I said to her, "I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've got a cold. Can I have a coffee?" And that's when her face went a little blank. See, I don't want to answer your questions about it. Did you... You know, Phil, I love you, Phil, but sometimes you're like Columbo, you know.
What do you mean, Columbo?
Well, you think there's a murder mystery to solve. I'm just telling you, the girl took a step back, and that's when I reached across the counter and I grabbed one of her collars on her jacket. And
you don't think you scared that kid by doing that, do you?
I didn't scare her, Phil. Let me tell you something. I've come a long way since I came out of the closet 3 weeks ago, and I have had a lot of practice in dealing with prejudice, and I'm not going to let people get away with it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I said to her, "Hi, Deandra, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist." And
she knows you, and she knows you very, very well. Why do you have to keep saying that every time you meet her?
I don't keep saying anything. It's a fact of my life. What do you mean I keep saying?
Every time you go in to get a coffee in there, do you say, "Hi, Deandra, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist"?
I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That's the fact of my life. I don't understand your question.
Are you saying it too much?
Here we go with this homophobe. I know you don't think you're a homophobe, Phil. You are what I call a closeted homophobe. You know?
I'm a homophobe because I question the number of times that you say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, especially to a girl that's serving you coffee who knows you. All right?
Yes, she knows me. Yes. Let me ask you something. Do people know your name?
Yeah.
Are they friends of yours?
Yes.
Do they use your name?
Of course they do.
All right. Do they use it a lot?
Well, I mean, every time they see me, you know.
Yeah. And every time I see Deandra, I say, "Hi, Deandra. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want a coffee." I do it because I want to make sure she is my friend. If she's truly my friend, then I'm going to remind her, "You think you're my friend, huh? Guess what? I'm gay." "Oh, yeah? Still my friend? Still want to make me coffee? Huh? Still want to breathe the same air that I breathe?" So I walk in there and go, "Hi, Deandra, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist." And
so don't you think she thinks you're a little strange for doing that?
I don't care what she thinks. I want her for one reason and one reason only. Get me a coffee. I don't care whether she does it standing on her head. I don't care if she strips. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know?
So you test her friendship and her loyalty to you. And by saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist and looking at the way she reacts to that, but you don't owe her anything.
What are you, man, I tell you, you are. Phil, sometimes you just talk and talk and talk and nobody, and I mean nobody, not even the good Lord himself who put you together for whatever reasons he had, not even he understands what you're talking about. What I'm saying, if you don't mind me saying, I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I said to her, "I'm gay." And
every time you go in there, you say to her, "You're gay."
Yes. Now, can we get on with the reason why I come on your show, or is that too much trouble?
I wanted to find out.
Because if it's too much trouble, man, I'll go on another show. I'll go on one of these other ones, a Rusty Humphrey show, or I'll go on that one guy, that Japanese guy.
What? The Japanese guy?
Yeah.
Look at man. My question had to do more with the social manner of you going around and saying you're a gay man and a gay. And I know you think I'm a homophobe.
I don't do it that much. I don't do it that much at all. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. All right? Now, if you got a problem with that, step right up to the plate and let me know. If not, then F it.
All right, well, I didn't want to get on your bad side, but I guess I did. Yeah.
I guess you did.
All right, well, we'll take a break, and we'll come back here with Doug Danger, and we'll get a nice, clean start here. Sorry, Doug. Doug's going to take your calls, and we come back. Is he being too sensitive with that barista? Well, that's an interesting question, but more to the point, we're going to get back to him talking about staying safe in a world that's growing more violent. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, and we are here to talk about the spiraling violence worldwide. And I don't know whether that's a very responsible thing to say, but nonetheless, that's what it seems like sometimes. And, Doug... I want you to know, as your friend, all right, forgive me if I offended you when you said to the girl, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I understand you say that because you're testing your friends. I'm a hurt that you still think of me as a homophobe.
I don't think of you as a homophobe, Phil, unless you step over the homo line. You know, we've often joked about the homo line. It's something we talk about in the gay community. Our straight friends love to tell us how much they love us and how much they support us. But then they step right over that homo line, and they're all about, hey, how come you keep talking about being a homo? So what do I answer? Is it bugging you? Because if it's bugging you, step right up to the plate. Step right up to the plate, man, and I'll bring it high and I'll bring it hot.
See how that sounds threatening? Do you see how that comes across sounding threatening?
It's not sounding threatening. But if one of my friends is embarrassed by the fact, what I said to Deandra, a young lady who has made me coffee for a year. Now, I think she's a great kid. I could care less whether she lives or dies. But as long as she is making...
Oh, that's a nice thing to say.
What's that?
I don't care whether she lives or dies.
I don't. But as long as she's making me coffee, and she and I are conversing, and we're friends, and she says to me that she's got a gay cousin, you know, all straight people say that. And I said, that's great. But just remember one thing. I'm gay. And boy, as soon as I say that, you see all the straights just kind of step back. It's almost like they do a quick step back. They kind of count their toes and fingers. You know, they check themselves for a rash. They check themselves for an open running sore.
Oh, come on, man. You can't be on it. You can't be serious. That people are that paranoid.
I'm telling you, I've seen it. And when I said to that girl, I'm a gay... Hi, Dan, I'll take my coffee. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I got a cold. Man,
did you say that on purpose?
You mean, did I say it on purpose? Yes, I said I wanted her to know. I want all my friends. I got a cold, you know. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Oh, here comes AIDS, man. Here comes AIDS. She's looking. I swear to God, I saw her look up and down the inside of her arm, and I asked her, what do you do? And I said, never mind, don't tell me. You're looking for an open, running, weeping sore. And with that, I poured the coffee out on the counter and I walked out.
Very, very adult.
Well, you know something, Phil? I came on your program here tonight to talk about something else.
Very adult. Very adult. A young lady who befriended you and...
I think she's a fine young lady.
You just couldn't care less whether she lives or dies. And you poured the coffee out on the counter.
No one says... No. I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. She looks at her arm, checks for a rash, open running sores, and weight loss. And
you got to be kidding me, man. She, just 5 seconds earlier, you said something about being gay, and you got her checking for weight loss. I think you're paranoid. 877-876-7445. We'll take a call on this. We also want to get into, if we can, the spiraling violence and the issue in Norway.
Well, I'd like to. That's why I came on your program. I didn't come on your program here, Phil, to talk about some little coffee barista who got her feelings hurt And so she decided to remind me of my mortality by looking at, you know, checking herself. She even pulled her... Oh, never mind.
What?
I mean, she pulled her shirt out, and she was checking like the... It looked to me like she was looking down her pants. I'm telling you, to see if any rashes were there.
And that's just as the result of you saying that you had a cold. Our number is 877-876-7445. Here's Daniel in Greensboro, North Carolina. Daniel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. I was just wondering why he was being so hateful about something that's really not that big of a deal to people. I mean, why would you have to say something like that over and over again? And, I mean, why would they even care?
Well, here's the thing, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and DeAndre had been making me coffee for a year. Now, she's straight, and that's fine. I got nothing against straight people. But when I come in and I ask for coffee, I'm going to remind her that I'm gay. Because when you remind your straight friends that you're gay, just to see whether they still want to be friends with you or not, you know?
If they were your friends before, if they're your true friends, then they'll stay your friends. If they're not, they'll stay your friends because of your sexuality preference. Then they're not true friends, and you just need to move on and let them go.
It depends on what's in the newspaper that day. If something comes out, gays, they're going to give a tax break to gays or something. Suddenly, I don't want to be friends with a gay no more. So I go in and say, hey, DeAndre, I'll take my coffee. By the way, I'm gay. How do you feel about that? You okay with that? Okay, good.
Boy, what a thing being a friend with you, man. It's like a test.
What is?
You saying, by the way, I'm gay.
I was friends with Daniel here.
I've got a couple of friends who have been gay since high school, and they don't ever just announce it all the time. Just people, they don't care about it. It's their
life. I'm a gay man.
Their life.
I'm a gay man and a gay jerk, but I'm gay. All right?
Okay. I mean, why do you have to keep saying it? Why can't you just live it and stop having to pronounce it?
Because of the fact that if you and I were friends, Daniel, and I'm assuming you're straight, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, if you and I were friends,
right?
And okay, good, we're friends, all right. But every day is a new day, and you may suddenly think, man, I don't want to hang out with no gay. So I gotta, I gotta double check that, man.
Well,
so
well,
I'll say, hey, Daniel, what's up?
If we were true friends,
right. But what if we're not?
You honestly wouldn't have to worry about that unless you had some kind of severe subconscious problem to where you don't trust your friends. If you don't trust them, then how are they your real friends?
Yeah. I mean, do you trust straight people?
Do I trust straight people? Should I?
If they're your friends.
Now, come on. I trust a straight man. You trust a straight, and you turn around, and there's a spear in your back.
Oh, that's really nice.
To me, like somebody has actually hurt your feelings to the point to where you put up a big wall, and nobody will ever be able to get past that wall.
Hurt my feelings? Are you kidding me? I mean, all the gay bashing, every time they just beat up gays.
Well, it's gotten better.
Gotten better?
It has. I mean,
it may have gotten better.
People used to get killed almost every week if they went in the wrong side of town because of their sexual preference.
Now, and I'm still pissed off about that.
Now, if you think nowadays, they're being allowed, y'all are being allowed to get married, you're having more rights. I mean, everything's
good enough. Not good enough.
Everything
too little, too late.
And it's not regressing. You know what I mean? It's not. It's
too
not
little, too late,
better.
Man. It's too little, too
late.
They got to do more.
What do you mean?
You said you came out 3 weeks ago or something?
Yeah, 3.5 weeks ago. I've seen a lot.
If you have to have 3.5 weeks of being out in the open with it, and sounds like to me, since you came out and started being honest with yourself and everybody else, you've done nothing but have a negative attitude about it.
No, I don't have a negative attitude about it.
How's that making your life and yourself, how's that going to make you feel better by having a negative attitude about what you are?
I'm just trying to say, all this stuff they're giving gay people now, marriage, gay marriage, all that, it ain't good enough. It might maybe 2 years ago, but now it's too late. So now, even though we are getting married, that's fine, but I still have to remind people I'm gay. You know that, right, Phil?
Yes, I know you're gay.
See how homophobic he is? Yes, I know you're gay.
No, he's not homophobic. I've listened to the radio for about 20 minutes, and I swear you have said it at least 30 times in 20 minutes.
I'm a gay man and a gay, because I'm gay.
I'm asking you,
do you know I'm gay? Do you know I'm gay?
How could he not know?
What?
How could I not know? I mean, you've been telling everybody the whole time you've been on the radio.
Then tomorrow, if you and I were to run across each other and say, "Hey, how you doing, Daniel? I'm gay. How about that?" You may have a different idea. You might have a different. What if you woke up with AIDS? I don't think you'd be feeling the same way about me. Well, never mind. You know.
Boy, that's a nice thought, Daniel. Thank you very much. We'll be back here with more from Doug Danger. We are going to talk about the violence in Norway and other things with Doug Danger, the Orange County Courier, on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, but why argue about it? Understand that I'm the host of the show, okay? And welcome back, folks. Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger on the line with us, and Doug is a gay man and a gay journalist, and I appreciate that. I don't want to get too further into this. The end of the topic, okay?
Why am I, and I think this is a fair question, Phil, and then I'll go wherever you want me to go with this topic tonight. But why am I looked at as some kind of a freak of nature? Because I want to check out how a barista at Starbucks feels about my homosexuality. What's unusual about that?
A barista at Starbucks, you want to find out how she feels about your homosexuality. What's unusual about that?
Oh, here we go. So I'm nuts. Is that it? Here we go. Every time you repeat something that I say, I know you're rolling your eyes and you're winking at the audience, and you want everybody to look at Doug Danger and say, "What a weird queer he is." You know?
Well, you know, I got to tell you something, Doug. The only person I've ever heard use that word that you just use is you. I don't. My listeners don't. None of my crew does. You do. And you do because you want to provoke something.
No, I don't want to provoke anything.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Now, we can end the interview right now, and I'll move on, or we can talk about what's going on in Norway.
I'd like to talk about what's going on in Norway. I'd like to be able, though, to feel as if I haven't been chastised like a child. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, I'm not chastising you, but I would like to move on.
You know, I'm happy to move on, Phil, because as far as I'm concerned, what happened in Norway is obviously an abomination. What happened in Norway is an indication that we've got a lot more work to do, Phil. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Yes, I say that because when I say that, and I know there are police listening, or I know that there are some people in Norway maybe listening to your show on the Internet, I want the people in Norway to know I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So that when the people in Norway listen to me and I say I'm gay, I cut right through the bullcrap right off the bat, and I've got the Norwegian ear. Now, I had a friend of mine, and you knew him, Jerry Cullen. Jerry was born in Ethiopia. He was raised in Norway. But Jerry never really wanted to become an American citizen. He wanted to maintain his Norwegian citizenship. But I told him that was problematic. And he asked me why. And I said, because you are African. If you look at the Norwegian people today, there's a lot of Norwegians. And
here we are with this Norwegian. Is this something that you really want to have appear in the lexicon?
Wow, get a load of the big word, the lexicon.
You want to get into a fight tonight, don't you?
No, I don't. I don't want to get into a fight. I said I'm gay to a barista at Starbucks, and that started off, you would have thought I said something like, "Hey, why don't I put on a pair of shorts, do some calisthenics, and see what slips out?" Which is what your next guest is going to do. What I'm saying...
Norwegian is a term you've used on my show before, and that supposedly means what?
Hey, Phil, get educated. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and a Norwegian is an African who has been raised in Norway, or is a Norwegian of African descent.
A Norwegian.
Yeah, and you can say it and try to get it... No one's laughing, Phil. No one's laughing. You're saying it to get a laugh. No one's laughing. So Jerry was a Norwegian, and I had said to him that in Norway, because of more and more people of color, whether they be Norwegian or whether they be of some other, ethnicity, there's going to be some social strife. And that's when I said gay-only bunkers where gay people can at least, there's not a lot of us, so if there is some kind of violence and something that is going to create a lot of chaos, I feel that gay people should institute some kind of protection. Those would be gay-only bunkers. And
what about straight people?
Straight people have, I'm saying straight, there'll be bunkers, and there'll be places, there'll be bomb shelters and places where people could go. But we got to ensure, and I mean we must do it now, no later than 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, some kind of legislation that says gay-only bunkers are at least on the table. And they can cut it up any way they want. I don't give a damn whether Obama and Boehner get married. Doesn't make any difference to me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But by 1 o'clock tomorrow, they better broker a deal for gay bunkers, or I'll know the reason why.
And you understand that none of this is making any sense.
Yeah, sure, Phil. Yes, it is making sense.
I don't. How did we get from Norwegian to gay bunkers?
Are we talking about violence in Norway?
Yes.
Okay. I'm talking about a place to protect people. You can understand what I'm talking about.
All right. I don't.
I brought up Jerry because of the changing look and the changing face, if you will, of Norwegian society, and some of that includes people of color. Why do you think this guy did what he did? Because the guy was a racist. He was a anti-Arab, anti-Muslim, a white supremacist. You got Norwegians, and you have to find a place in society for them, as we have found a place for African-American people, and... or the Afrigans.
And what is an Afrigan?
You could call them Afrigan or Norwegian.
But Afrigan.
Yes. Are you having a hard time with that? Can someone call up and please tell Mr. Hendry that these are perfectly normal uses of the word, a word that means a Norwegian of African descent or an African of Norwegian descent?
Well, how many people are there like that?
Of what?
How many Africans of Norwegian descent are there?
I don't know. I'm saying that if there are, we can at least begin to do the social study to quantify what the African means to that part of the world as opposed to Norwegian. Now, the bunker that I want to set up, the gay-only bunker, is a bunker that is going to ensure the survival of gay people. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, the question that you had before we went on the air was, how does the race propagate when you only have gay men and gay blank, whatever occupation, gay men and gay plumbers, gay men and gay news anchors, gay men and gay artists, gay men and gay, gay men and gay everything, you know, gay men and gay chefs. And
yes, I know, every profession.
Right. Well, it's easy. Men are not the only homosexuals. We have homosexual women. We have lesbians. Now, lesbians are antisocial when it comes to straight people. Gay men, on the other hand, are very comfortable with straight women. But lesbians are uncomfortable with straight men. So how do we propagate the society? Very simple. Lesbians will have to have sex with gay men. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm mindful of the civil liberties of people. But if the gay people of this country and the world want to keep the species going, then lesbian women are going to have to get with the program and just shut up and, you know, do as they're told. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, Phil.
Well, if I hear what you're saying correctly, you're saying that in the event that society spins so far out of control that gays are all in one bunker and...
They're not all in one bunker. They would be gay-only bunkers.
Gay-only bunkers.
You know, and so don't treat me like I'm a George Norrie freak, okay? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I've got a Norwegian friend. I have three or four friends that are African. I'm a man who understands that society is spinning out of control in some areas of the world, and a gay-only bunker where lesbians would be forced to do their duty, I think, is the only way to go.
And forced to do their duty. So what you have essentially here is a bunker full of gay men who, when the time comes to make sure that the race propagates, as you put it, to make sure that we have human beings being born, because I guess we don't know that straight people are having sex. Is that it?
I have no way of knowing. if I'm in a gay bunker, I've got to assume that all the straights are dead. I must assume that the straights are gone and that only gays have survived. In which case, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I have to look to the lesbian as the mother. And we do not have sex with each other as a rule, but a gay man is far more amenable to females than lesbians are to males. So someone's got to call the shots. Someone's going to have to say, drop the handkerchief and say, go. Someone's going to have to turn on the green light. Someone's going to have to cut the ribbon.
I understand, Doug, okay? Someone's going to have to
make the decisions.
All right. And you don't think that that's, I'm going to use the word, rape?
What?
You're forcing these women.
I don't think, Phil, once we spell out to these, okay, I'll use your word. Once we spell out to these lesbians what's needed, I don't think they're going to put up a fuss. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to run to? Nowhere. The gay men and the gay blank, whatever profession, are looking out. And, you know, I think that at the end of the day, the lesbian will understand. Now, that's if we even get that far. But from what I've been hearing tonight, how I can't even say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist without someone stepping back and checking themselves to make sure that they haven't turned into a human skeleton, lost all their hair. I can't say gay man and gay journalist to someone without him turning, looking in a mirror, and expecting to see Michael Stipe. I can't see.
Okay, so you're saying that all of the homophobia that's existing in the world right now is something that obviously is perhaps will render moot all of these discussions of survival. I want to ask you something before we get to the break. Are we not getting a little far ahead of ourselves here?
In what way?
But you're talking about needing bunkers and needing to go underground and needing this and needing that because we had this horrible incident in Norway. Where do you get from this Norwegian incident that society is spinning out of control?
Well, I think if you take a country that has been traditionally a country of very even-tempered people, a country not known for a high crime rate, a country that's known for its social liberalism, or that could very well be Sweden. See, that's the other thing. I've been looking in books, and I've been looking at... I think it's Sweden, Phil, that's actually the more liberal country. I think the Norwegian... Or not Norwegian, but I think the Norwegians have been...
No, the Norwegians.
The Norwegian, I don't think you're right. I think Norwegian is the term you use for an African who's from Norway. Is that right?
No, that's not right. Norwegian is the term you use for someone from Norway.
All right, would you mind very much if I not just take your word for it? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I like to check things out. Would you mind if I just said Norwegians or the Norway people? Would that be all right with you?
You can do whatever you want, Doug. I mean, the audience is going to make their decisions.
All right, I'll take my chances with the audience, okay? My point is this. If you look into the history of the Norwegians, they, guess what, Phil? Nazis. They were Nazis.
Well, no, they were not. I mean, they had a Nazi government that was, they were taken over by the Germans.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They were taken over, yeah.
Okay, but they were very brave. The Norwegian people resisted the Nazis very bravely, okay? They, in fact, and I shouldn't say this, they put up more of a fight than the French did.
Wow. Wow! Man, you talk about me. Look what you just said. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And you're knocking the French, the one country that's friendly to me and mine, the one country that would most likely set aside government funding for a gay bunker.
And I didn't mean to knock the French, but I'm telling you, I think, and this is my humble opinion, the Norwegians put up more of a fight against the Nazis than the French did. Now, what's that got to do with what we're talking about?
I'm saying it because I think the Norwegians are more right-wing than the Swedes. You hear about all the Swedes and the boob jobs, whatever it was they invented. I think the Swedes invented boob jobs, didn't they?
The Swedes have sexual reassignment surgery was something that was done in Sweden. I think that the sexual mores may be liberal. I don't know that they invented the boob job necessarily. So you're saying that it makes sense that Norway would have this kind of violence?
I think so. And that's why I said you better get a gay bunker going there before you get it going anywhere else. So that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to make anybody pissed. But I'm more comfortable calling the people from Norway, the Norwegians or the Norway people, until I can double-check what you call someone that comes from up there.
I can tell you it's Norwegian.
And I'm telling you that that Norwegian is the term you use for an African of Norwegian descent.
Okay, Doug, whatever you say, I have to take a break.
And I can tell. Okay, so that's a condescending tone in your voice.
You know, Doug, every time you come on this show, you're pissed off about something, and I'm just going to put you on hold right now. I don't have the time to argue with you at present. Doug Danger with us. And society. Is society reaching... I don't see it personally. I think we have violence, but I think we're dealing with it on an individual case-by-case basis. I think it's something they're dealing with in Norway right now. The democratic society that they have, coupled with a long tradition of gun ownership in Norway. They have a very long tradition of gun ownership in Norway. And many of the same kinds of extreme thinkers. And so we had this horrible event. But to say that we need bunkers, let alone gay bunkers, I think is paranoid. We'll be back, though, with Doug Danger. And I'm sure that when we do come back with Doug Danger, he will be ready to jump me and call me a homophobe or something. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I said it's a Norwegian.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me, of course, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We've been talking the last few minutes about I don't like to use the term the spiraling violence. It seems to me that we have a world that has much more contact with itself, and we are in touch with each other much more readily. We know what's going on everywhere. We just know what's going on everywhere. We see it. We hear it. We feel it. And we also are facing a world that is increasingly democratic, or people want to live in a democratic society. And there are long-standing democratic societies. There are burgeoning democratic societies. There are people trying to shake off the bonds of social unrest and decay and insecurity. Norway, like many countries in Europe, has increasingly resettled, if you will, or otherwise admitted as immigrant people of color from Africa, perhaps, or the Middle East. And so you have this reaction, like you have in Germany, and like you have in France, and like you have in the Netherlands. And I really shouldn't compare them, because in the Netherlands there has been a reaction against Islamists and Islamic fundamentalists, which I think is reasonable. In Germany, there's been a lot of racism. In France, there's not only racism but continued anti-Semitism. And in Norway now, you've got this guy who is against. Look at our country. Look at how much further along we are. Look at how we have wrestled with these problems in our country. I'm not saying that we're perfect or better, and I certainly, if I were a black person, a black man or woman listening to the Phil Hendry Show tonight, and I said that, you guys might be rolling your eyes a little bit, but I think you have to agree. My God, we're not still asking the question whether we can afford a multiracial society or whether it's possible. We've lived it, and we're making it work. Doug?
Well, hold on for a minute. I got to do hey. Nice speech, Bill. Nice speech.
And why do you want to be sarcastic?
I'm not being sarcastic, but the time that you took setting up the last segment of your show with that speech just basically robbed me of my ability to come on here and give a big closer, a big finish. I mean, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I came on your program talking about the gay bunker, and you're off talking about Norwegians. Now, I think it's very plain.
Don't you think...
May I finish, please?
All right, go ahead.
God. I think it's very plain that your point of view, which is that there is a multiracial society developing in Norway that is somehow irritating the far right in that country, it may be a good point, Phil, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I can see more clearly than a lot of people that maybe that's a good point, and maybe you're pandering, maybe you're not. But I think my point, which is that we need more gay bunkers, and we have to make it evident to lesbians they'll be expected to carry the babies to term. I think that's far more relevant.
And did you just heard what you said, right?
Yes, I heard. What does that mean? Did I hear what I said?
You just heard what you said, and you think it's far more relevant to talk about the need for gay bunkers than it is to talk about the possible emerging multiracial society in Norway.
Yes. Yeah. Is that clear enough? Yes. Y-E-S. Yes. You know why?
Why?
Because I think at the very heart and soul of what's going to save Norway is not going to be more understanding between Norwegians, Norway people, the Norway folk, I don't know, you know, whatever you want, you know, the Norwegians. I don't know, Phil, I'm not willing to say they're called Norwegians, that's all.
Yeah, you just go ahead and keep calling them Norwegians.
Yeah, you see that? There's the music. So in other words, I wasn't allowed to make my point, now you got to rush me off the air, and I sound like the asshat that I've always sounded like. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I want people to know that. I love people, but when I gotta, shoot.
Phil Hendry.
Don't roll your eyes looking at me.